Tonight, you are some of the smartest people in the spirit that lives on the face of the earth. And you'll find out why in a few minutes. You'll find out why in a few minutes. Apostolically, divine order is coming back to the church. And there are some revelations and mysteries that God's children has not known. And by not knowing them, it has caused them to be behind in a lot of things that God wanted them to be ahead. Now, I know some of y'all are dealing with stuff in your body. Listen, it didn't originate in your body. It originated in your soul. All right? So as you listen tonight, a lot of things will be cleared up. Do you hear me? We're not here on basis of tradition just to say I went to church. We come here to the Lord talk to us and give us divine instruction how to live a supernatural life. Now listen to this first seal. I want you to listen very carefully. Tonight, by revelation of the mystery of the soul, coming to understand of how my soul work, I will come out of every stuck. Everything that has hindered me from receiving from my spirit what belonged to me, this is a new beginning. Pray about that a few moments. Look at it and pray about it. Look at it and pray about it. Out of every stuck. Every stuck. You're coming out of every stuck. Thank God. This is a new beginning. Wednesday night is a new beginning. Tonight. He didn't do it on Sunday. He's going to do it Wednesday night. In Jesus' name. Secondly, God has tried to get some things to me for a long time. I know my prayer was heard. I know my faith was released properly. But there's a turn now because of the apostolic stage that I stand on. I can see better the divine order of God and his original plan for me. Pray about it. Wow. Wow. Look at it. See what it's saying. My goodness. My goodness. My goodness. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. You pray over that more, you know, when you get home, write it down. I'll tell them put it back on the board and you can write it after service. I don't know. Take a picture of it. Number three, at a rapid pace will my life begin to change for the better. And the goodness of God will begin to reign in every aspect of my life that I may be blessed and be a blessing to everyone who connect to me. This is my hour of power. My goodness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. All right, in Jesus' name we have prayed, amen. You may be seated, get your Bible, Matthew chapter 13. You may want to write this down before we read the scriptures because I want you to see where we're going. Understanding apostolic kingdom mysteries of the soul. Understanding apostolic kingdom mysteries, plural, of the soul. I'll be teaching some mysteries about your soul and what's been blocking you, what's been blocking your healing, what's been blocking your finances, what's been blocking husband and wife having a good relationship, what's been blocking children from being connected to their parent properly. In Matthew 13, the Lord called a scripture to me. I'll read two scriptures out of two different books. I'm having the Father, the Holy Ghost. But Matthew 13, verses 11 and 12. Verses 11 and 12, Matthew 13. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries, plural, of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Then he says, for whosoever have and understand those mysteries to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. In the capture of my little Bible in Romans chapter 12, it talks about the perfect will of God. The perfect will of God. But beginning at verse 1, it deal with your body, then it deal with your soul or your mind, then it deal with your spirit, right? So he says, come on, read with me these three verses. Romans 12, 1, let's begin. Read. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, we want to understand what it means about having a wounded soul. Write that down. A wounded soul. A wounded soul. Because let's find out now, if our soul is wounded, things that our spirit wants to get to us, it can't. If our spirit is wounded, demonic power have something to attach to. All right. The enemy calls sin. Sin stay long enough, it produce a wound. It stay long enough, it produce a darkness. All right? In your soul. Christian, your soul. All right? Listen, everyone has a problem of affliction that just won't seem to go away. No matter how much we repent, pray, rebuke, fast, and decree. It just won't seem to go away. All of us probably know someone who have struggled with the same issues for years, even decades. Same sickness, same disease, same squabble, same thing. Now, There are soul wounds, W-O-U-N-D-S. And these are things that we carry with us, like hurt of all kind, etc., our whole life, if we don't come to an apostolic kingdom understanding of these mysteries. They are formed by sin. Now this is, when I was studying this, I trembled. Someone either sinned against you or you sinned against yourself. And you never got it cleared out of your soul. Now, within the context of your soul is your mind. Now, y'all think your mind is the head honcho in your soul. And then Satan worked by emotion. That's in your soul. And then your will is there. And then your conscience is there. So when I say soul, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about your mind. I'm talking about your emotion. I'm talking about your will, and I'm talking about your conscience. Neither one of them are out of Satan's reach if you don't know what to do. Now, in your spirit, you're completely like God. So a lot of time when we think the Bible talking to our spirit, it's actually talking to our soul. A lot of time, I looked it up in the Strong Concordance. A lot of time when we think the Bible talking to our heart, it's talking to our soul. I want you to know how to minister to your soul. How to minister to your mind. How to minister to your will. How you can make right decision, and how you can cut Satan off. If Satan has sin and wound and darkness in your soul, he can do whatever he want with you, because the power can't get through. The different diseases that attack our body, they attacked at our soul first. So the way to get them out, we got to attack from our soul with understanding. Are you listening? So, and because they are formed by sin, they give the demonic the legal right to torment you. You're a Christian, but your soul. The legal right to torment you. And that torment, you listening? Can manifest in physical diseases. All types of failures in all areas of our life. You listening? Yes, it is time for us at an accelerated rate to get restored to what our original creation was supposed to be. Amen. Too much sickness? Too much lack. I'll tell you a secret on the end about money. So here we're going to begin to appropriate, apply certain steps that Jesus appropriated for us through his death and resurrection. And we'll have what you call, and I know we never, an excellent soul. You already got an excellent spirit. You get an excellent soul, you're going to have an excellent body, you're going to have an excellent life. Already paid for. You just got to know what to do. When that happened, listen, there will be nothing in us, turn to John 14:30, that's common with the demonic. The only common claim Satan can get on us is through our soul. Give me the Amplified Bible on that verse, John 14:30, there you go. I will not talk with you much more, for the prince evil genius rule of the world is coming. Jesus said that. And he has no claim on me. Hallelujah. And he has, come on, say it. And he has no claim on me. That's where we're going. That's where we're going. We're going to locate him and eradicate him and hold him off. He had no claim on me. He had nothing in common with me. There's nothing in me that belonged to him. Therefore, he has no power over me. I know you have wondered sometime. You had to. I've been a Christian, and I've had a good, successful life, but there are some battles that look like the enemy think he's just as strong as I am. And it's by not knowing how to come in alignment with the total man. Right? If there be nothing in us that common with the demonic, so the demonic will have no power over us. Turn to Psalm 41. Psalm 41 for a minute. You must see this now. You learn how to have an excellent soul, an excellent spirit, and an excellent body. And Satan won't be whipping up on you no more. In Psalm 41:4, it says, I said, Lord, be merciful unto me, heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. Heal my soul. Give me a heal my soul. Then you know what Psalm 23:3 says, right? Turn it. Huh? Turn to Psalm 23:3. There's a statement that he restoreth my soul. Now, listen, I've studied these lessons up and down, and God have people to help me, you know. I studied with various apostles, and I'm looking for it. And God always set it right in my place when it's time for it. Let's talk about the wounded soul. All of y'all probably have one. Most believers suffer from soul wounds. Watch what it says now, that keep them from living up to the full potential God has placed within them. I'm going to read that again. I want you to hear that. I want you to hear it well. Most believers suffer from soul wounds that keep them from living up to the full potential God has placed within them. You got a perfect spirit. You're a partaker of the nature of God. We're not talking about heaven right now. We're talking about days of heaven on earth. While you're here, while you now, right? Understanding the soul, what I said?
Understanding the soul
will cause you to live a victorious life on earth. Write that down. Understanding the soul will cause you to live a victorious life on earth. Other words, not understanding the soul will cause you to live a defeated life on earth, because Satan will use it. All right? Now, if we say when the wounded soul, where are we wounded? Not in our bodies. The wound don't start in your body, even though you may have some disease trying to stay in your body, but you're not wounded in your body. It didn't start in your body. Not in our spirit, but you'd be wounded in your soul. Now, you know, went a long time in the church, and we thought the soul made the mistake of thinking that the soul and spirit are synonymous, but they're not. Got that? Human beings have bodies, spirit, and soul with a crucial difference, right? Now, we all know the moment we surrender to Jesus, you're born again, And the Holy Spirit came to live inside of you. How many of y'all got the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you? Well, why are you losing so doggone much? Must be something wrong. You see what I'm saying? I'm talking to everybody. I'm talking to all the other priests, the bishop, or everybody. Everybody on the internet, everybody up in here. All up here. So the moment you surrender to Jesus, you were born again and the Holy Spirit came to live inside of you, which means your spirit is perfect. Write down there, my spirit. Y'all don't write enough. My spirit is perfect. So you can go back, because you ain't going to remember all this. The devil going to steal it. My spirit is perfect, but my soul is not perfect. I have to perfect it. But God have given me the ability and the weapons and the know-how to perfect my soul. The word. He said, renew my soul. And I want him to take the shape of what is offered to me. I live in a transformational life. Then I said, no, wrong dude. You hit the wrong dude here. I know better. In my soul. In my mind. In my conscience. I don't have to accept this low level. I seen my spirit gates falling down and doors coming off the hinges. That's what I see right now. Doors that have been captive doors, doors of captivity, saying you can't go into that other room. You can go into that other room. Are you following me? Your soul, you listening? Unlike your spirit, is sanctified over time as you become more like Jesus. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, what's good about this class, a lot of scriptures in the months to come, a lot of scriptures you thought was talking to your spirit will be talking to your soul. A lot of scriptures that are speaking, your spirit already got that. See? But you'll know now how to renew your soul and how to bring your soul up to par spiritually. Three-man weapon you have. The blood of Jesus. The power of the resurrection, which is a dunamis power, which sometime light a fire and burn up snakes, demons that trying to lodge themselves to take a hold of your life, to keep you from moving into the revelation that God had provided for you. Dunamis power. You look it up in Greek, it means moving infirmities and creating an excellent soul. And then you have the glorious light, which heals, the light of Christ. He's the light of the world. And you turn that light loose in your soul. We're talking more about that. I just want to tell you that so you have something to work with early. Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 3:18, and all of us, as with unveiled face, because we continue to behold in the word of God as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are constantly being what? Y'all with me? Huh? What I'm reading out of the Amplified, constantly being changed, being transfigured into his very own image, in ever-increasing splendor, and from one degree of glory to another. That's not for your spirit. See, that's renewing. You see, nothing can come through. Healing, no manifestation can come through if your soul is contrary. See, half of y'all won't believe me. But you know a lot of stuff not working. Let me say it this way. In this passage, Paul is not speaking about our spirit being progressively healed from glory to glory. You see the difference. It takes a lot of teaching. Why? Because our spirits were transformed and made perfect in an instant at our new birth. So what are you talking about? He's talking about taking the glory of God, the light of the glory, and our soul being healed step by step. Now in the NIV, Romans 12:2 says something this way. The apostle urges us, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You listening?
Yes, sir.
Your mind is part of your soul. So Paul isn't talking about the spirit, which is changing in an instant, but he's talking about the soul, which is our mind, our will, our emotion, and your conscience. Now, when your soul is not right, I think I shared it with you, Romans 9:1, you can't do it. You're going to lie. You're going to lie. You're going to stretch things. Because when he said pull on stronghold, cast down imagination, there's three things he said. Pull on stronghold, cast down, 2 Corinthians 10, cast down imagination. And then the third thing is every high thing. So when you look at that, when he tell you to transform, you get your mind transformed in Romans 12:2. When you look at Romans 12:3, he tells us not to be high-minded. Satan will make you high-minded, and therefore God cannot minister to you like he want to minister to you. Are you following?
Yes, sir.
Whether you like it or not, the soul is progressively healed throughout the believer's walk with Christ. Whether you like it or not. I know we got a lot of doctrine we've had that had to be changed. Listen. A wounded soul impact everything. Okay. You hear me?
Yes, sir.
All right. Behavior. You can't change no behavior with a wounded soul because like it says there in John 14:30, we got something in common, baby. I'm here legally. You got this pressure on you legally. You can't take it all by reading a few scriptures. You can't take it all by praying 2 hours in tongue if you don't know how you function. And then if you don't know how you function, you don't know how I function. Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's go further. A wounded soul affects every area of your life. Some old hurt. You say, I don't forgive them, but it come up every 3 months. You haven't dealt with it. It's still there. Now watch what can happen. See, can you identify with it? When your soul is wounded, it causes you to think wrong thoughts. Number one. It impacts your will. Listen, causing you to make wrong decisions. Number three, it caused you to feel painful, negative, hurtful emotions. I wish I had a church here ready to go to another level. We're about to stop some stuff in your life. You understand what I'm saying? Look at the three things. It caused you to think wrong thought. Who won't think wrong thought? But if your mind is not renewed and if Satan attacks through a wound that sin have caused, He gonna affect your thought about everything. Then you got, he got you going around saying he not. Sitting there affecting my mind. But yet you in 14 stocks. And one of the trucks had broke down, had been in there so long. It don't all run no more. In your life. You understand what I'm saying? So now, what is the mystery here? When you learn to get your soul healed, you're going to make, think right thoughts. You're going to make right decisions. And you're going to stop any feeling that become painful to you. Because you know it's not you. It's being put on you by another entity. Now, you know, we got a lot of sin in the body of Christ. Just sinning. Yes, I saw somebody sin in the body of Christ. I said, mine. I saw more sin in the body of Christ than in the barroom. At least it was Curtis in the barroom. You know? The wounds of the soul are often responsible for adultery, divorce, church splits, business failure. Wounds in the soul. A wounded soul can cause cancer, viral infection. Y'all still here?
Yes.
And other countless disability diseases. But I'm teaching you how to turn it. See, when you're if you're properly taught, if the people has not been taught some other things to have some kind of foundation to teach this to them, they will call you an accuser. Because the accuser wants them to call you an accuser so he can keep abusing you. See, all abusing factor will be taken from your life. The health of your soul can affect and control every part of your body. You heard that?
Yes.
Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as what? When you don't know how to handle your soul, people do things they don't want to do. Look at Romans 7:20.
Yes, sir.
You do things you don't want to do. You don't know how to handle it. You don't know what's happening to you. You're on the street and you wonder how you got there. It's a street you didn't want to go to. Your phone ringing, or you got somebody, you didn't call somebody and you didn't want to call them, the phone ringing. You don't even remember when you dial a number. When the person say hello, a emotion trigger, and you're in trouble. But you didn't even call them. Your soul called them. Because Satan is using you. Now, if I do what I do not desire to do, it's no longer I doing it. It's not myself that act, but the sin principle was to dwell within me, a fix and operating in my soul. Here's what Paul is saying here. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Paul is saying he's doing things that he don't want to do, but because my soul is out of whack.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
This is not the ABCs of faith here. This is going to get you out. This is going to enable you to be a disciple of the Lord and do the works and the greater works. When your soul out of whack, you're so busy doing work on yourself. Listen, behavior. All this foul behavior you see all over the world. We can't always control our behavior because our wounded soul takes over and make us do things we don't want to do. Now listen. Listen to me. There's only so much you can do to control your behavior. You need to be healed. You're a child of God, no doubt about it. You're a child of Jesus Christ. You're saved. But that you're not gonna control them behavior by just reading scripture. Yeah. All right? You listening?
Yes, sir.
Why my soul would be wounded? I don't know why. Two reasons. Sin and trauma. Any of y'all ever had any trauma in your life? I've had it.
Yes,
huh? Yes, you gotta. Sin can literally wound your soul, wound you, and even though you have accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you have accepted his blood, which has cleansed you of all unrighteousness and brought you into a right relationship with God, there are still wounds in your soul that need to be healed. Committing adultery wound the soul. Alcohol and drug use wound the soul. Stealing or being dishonest wounds the soul. Gossip about others and being a chronic overeater wounds the soul. Your appetite is in your soul. If you don't know how to control it, you're going to stay off track. Y'all done read all them diet things and now, it's very crucial what I'm about to say here now, because on one side of the ledger, we have just talk about the inner man, the spirit, but your soul is within you too. Okay? The gravity of the sin really does not matter in terms of the harm it can do to you. Any sin, what I say?
Any sin.
Can leave a scar on your inner man, the soul, I'm talking about now, not your spirit. Watch this. Anybody ever had anybody sin against them? Said something bad about you, lied on you, anything. Your soul can be wounded when other people sin against you. If you don't know how to protect it. Someone may have accused you of doing something you didn't do. Or you find out they're talking behind your back or somebody left their phone open. Just a talk. Do better, you shut it off, but you know we ain't gonna shut it off. We're gonna listen a little while. Stolen from you or abused you in other ways. Listen, once your soul has been wounded by sin, it needs literal healing. That is why the psalmist, go back to Psalm 41:4 again. That's why the psalmist said, Lord, be merciful unto me, heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. In Isaiah 30:26, quickly, the prophet Isaiah writes, the Lord bind up the hurts of his people and heal their wounds inflicted by him because of their sins. You listening? Here's some of the traumas that can cause a wounded soul. A tragic accident. Any of y'all ever been in an accident? Let me see your hand. You ever been in an accident? Mm-hmm. A death in your family, a loss of a job, or a financial setback, a divorce, a chronic illness. Your soul be wounded because you were bullied when you were young, or because you're a parent dealing with a rebellious child. You can be traumatized if one of your loved ones is living through a long or difficult sickness. But if you know how to handle that soul, none of this will happen. You see what's been happening to us? Satan been working through our soul. But we can stop him. You remember Job? You remember some of the things Job went through? You know Job talked about his soul 23 times? Here are a few of them. His soul was wounded by trauma because his children were destroyed, all his wealth was destroyed. He had a wife, didn't know how to walk all the way with him. What happened to Job? Ready to kill all his servants? They stole his vast herd of livestock. Listen, I want to get this. These pages trying to stick together, but I'm going to get them loose. You know, if you can't get them loose, you put a little spit on your finger. How many know what I'm talking about? That'll get it loose. All of his children were killed once when a strong wind came and fell on the house. The house fell on them. And if all this, that wasn't horrible enough, Satan then attacked him, putting painful balls on his body from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. And then his wife turned on him. Now watch this now. Yes, Job was a righteous, godly man. But the trauma he experienced wounded him deeply. So I told you, 23 times the word, 23 times the word soul is used. Turn to, I think it's Job 3:20. As you read, you'll find him saying that he vexed in soul. 3:20 say bitter in soul. 7:11 say anguish of soul. 10:1 say my soul is weary of my life. 14:22 mourning in soul. 19:2 vexed my soul. 24:12 wounded soul. My soul is being poured out. See, he went through that trauma. Whenever Job expressed the excruciating pain he felt in his soul, it was in direct connection to the trauma he had suffered. Some of y'all have been through some stuff I don't know. I talk to some children sometimes. I know they're in trouble. They're in trouble at home. I know that. Now, it is said Job is not alone in his suffering. Everyone on this planet has lived through some type of trauma, which means we're all wounded to some extent. Listen. And when your soul is wounded, all kind of trouble can come into your life. Now we're going to get, I want to start off with the wounded soul. We're going to get to some prayers and some things we can do to get our soul completely excellent. See, when this, and then the trouble is, it includes physical sicknesses and demonic oppression. You know what John wrote, beloved, I wish above everything, you see, John said, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in every way, and that your body may keep well, even as I know your soul keeps well and prosper. The condition of your soul can directly affect the health of your physical body. Let me say that again. The condition, why we got so many Christians sick? Huh? So suppose we take the word of God, take the understanding of God, take the blood of Jesus, take the power of the resurrection, take the light of Christ, who is the light of the world, and put in our soul and say, Lord, I repent. I ask you to forgive me for anything that wasn't right. And I declare now I have a clean soul. Then you watch it. You watch it on a daily basis. John chapter 5. I may be able to tell you just this one, go over this one text with you to show you. Hallelujah. To show you. And we're just beginning. I mean, it's a whole lot of mystery. But I want to work with the wounded soul so you can recognize being a wounded soldier, you can't defend yourself as if you were healthy. So Satan cannot, he cannot class, come on, listen to me, internet, TV watches, listen. Satan cannot whip you if you know how to handle your soul. So, Pastor, why are you not talking about body? Your body neutral. Your body is letting happen just what you let went through your soul. So as you correct your thinking, as you correct your will, locking into his will, as your conscience become clear, not by the situation, by revelation. The situation don't mean nothing if I know what to do about it. But when something go wrong, we get so caught up in feeling. We feel like failures. You're not a failure, you've been attacked. Stand up. You hear me? Stand up. And get the wisdom that is already on the inside of you, in your spirit, into your thinking, into your soul. Yes. You not sick because you're a bad person. You haven't done nothing wrong. It's something you haven't done right. Stop him tonight. Stop him. No. This is the season he want to mess you up. He don't want you to enjoy Jesus. You walk by faith and not by feeling. You walk by what you know, not by what you see. What you know will change what you see. Your failing days are over. If you taught right, if you receive right. John chapter 5. Let me read this story to tell you a few things about it. What we got in John chapter 5, here we got a multitude of sick and disabled people waiting at a pool, right? Well, an angel of the Lord was known to come and stir the water, right? It's right in that chapter. Now watch, you're going to hear some things you need to hear about this story. The man waited 38 years, hoping to be healed of his infirmity. That's a long time, right? Yes. So, now, does the Bible tell us what caused the illness? Yes. When we look up infirmity in the Greek, we find it mean weakness and infirmity of the body and of the soul. Let me give it to you again now. I want you got to get that down. You can't just sit here listening. I'm going to be at my house resting. Y'all be calling. I'm trying to get y'all while I don't have to go nowhere. Listen. When we look at infirmity in the Greek, we find it mean weakness and infirmity of the body and of the soul. Not just the body. The body can't get infirm without the soul. God using your spirit and Satan using your soul. And the Bible tells us, when you read it, that his wound was caused by sin. You know, the Lord move with compassion and heal him. You know that, right? Yes, I'm trying to, you got to read it yourself because I got to get to the end here because I got so much to teach you. But after he healed him, he told him, stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. Get that sin out your soul. Don't give Satan nothing attached to you. You got the ability to say the same word that Jesus said in John 14:30. Yeah, there he come. He ain't got nothing on me. Do you know what a clear conscience is? Accuser come. You say, you lying. I don't have to defend myself. You lying. Watch now. This man, the same man here, watch this. Jesus told him, go and sin after you got him here, or something worse is going to come and happen to him, right? When we can reasonably, watch this, infer from this that the man was sick in his physical body because the sins he committed was wounding his soul. Soul wounds can make you physically sick. But, everybody say but. They can also allow demonic spirit to afflict your physical body. Doesn't mean you don't have a good house, but lock the doggone door. You see what I'm saying? See, your spirit is on radar. It's picking things up. It want to know what's happening. But then you begin to cooperate with the spirit as you watch God speak to your soul in the scripture. So that man for 38 years was sick because of sin that Satan had put in his soul. In the 13th chapter of Luke, tell of the time Jesus healed a woman who was bent over by a spirit of infirmity for 18 years. That's a long time, isn't it? Again, the word infirmity here means weaknesses and infirmity of the body and soul. It's never just the body. It's never just the body. Like the man at the pool, this woman also was sick in her physical body because of a wound in her soul. But in her case, watch it now. You read it tonight before you go to bed. That word was allowing a demonic spirit to afflict her and cause her physical diseases. How you know that? Look at the 16th verse of 13th chapter of Luke. How you know that? How do I know that? Because Jesus said that the woman had been bound by Satan. I want you to hear this now. These few things I'm going to say and then close. I want you to hear it. God is a supernatural God and we are his children. And he wants his children to live a supernatural life every day. It should be normal for God to bless you going out and coming in. That is what happened when you get your soul healed. Now you remember what I said, James 1, let me close. Remember what I said in James 1, 21? Now you go on down to the 25th verse, it's talking about a mirror for your soul. Turn to James 1, 21. That's a mirror for your soul. See, we've been looking at it for a mirror for our spirit, but our spirit really don't need a mirror. Our spirit stays dressed properly. Romans 8:11 said the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in us. 2 Peter 1 said, I partook of his divine nature and have escaped the lust that is in the world. So where my problem coming in? It's not coming through my body. It's not coming through my senses. It's coming through my soul, my mind, my emotion, my will, and my conscience. Now, you know what Philippians 2:13 said? God is at work in you to do his will and of his good pleasure. Then in Romans 9:1, Paul said, I tell the truth, I lie not, my conscience bear witness with the Holy Ghost. Look at that, James. He said, receive. He talked about a whole lot of sin. Then he said, receive the engrafted word. But let's go back further, though. And receive with meekness. You remember Romans 12:3?
Yes, sir.
Don't think more highly of yourself than blessed are the meek, Jesus said, for they shall inherit the earth. The Lord talk about meekness. You got to humble yourself. What you really need is meekness and weakness. Meekness is not weak. Weak is by itself, but you need meekness and weakness. You need to recognize God doing it. So he says, don't only be a hearer of the word, 22nd verse, only, but if you be you doer of the word and not yours only, deceiving your own self. Where are you deceiving yourself at? In your soul. Go to the next verse. It's all for your soul. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Go ahead on. For beholdeth himself and goeth away and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Now all this ministering to your soul. Go to the next verse. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty. What does that make you think about? Romans 8:2. Make a mark. Romans 8:2. Now I'm gonna say one gonna knock the word of faith out the water. They're gonna get upset. But by putting the word, which is spirit and life, according to John 6:3, in your soul can cooperate with the law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So now you have an excellent spirit, an excellent soul, excellent body, health, excellent finances. Everything they got excellent. They got too many worry Christians. They're worried. They shout at church and roll at home. God dog, what I'm gonna do? But they shouted at church. The church was supposed to tell them how to go back home and shout. See? Instead of just giving you some thrill and making you feel good, you need to walk out here, you know something now. And listen, don't let the satanic forces indict you with the problem because you got something in your body or something going wrong that you know good and you're not living right. That's not what I said. That's enough.